you please open your Bible with me on Luke chapter 2, verse 11. And we will refer to some verses in the book of Isaiah afterwards. But for the moment, let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment in which we can reflect that our fellowship is with thee as our Father and with your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We come to thee not on our merits, but on the merits alone of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. So bless our time now together with the help of thy Holy Spirit, that we may behold the wondrous truths out of thy law, and grant us the grace to be able to apply them with such great effect from tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. To read again the text that was read, Luke chapter 2, verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Those are the comforting words that we can say they are also consoling words spoken by the angel of the Lord to those who are confused, bewildered shepherds on the hills of Judea near the city of Bethlehem on that first Christmas night. The prophet Isaiah prophesied his birth 750 years before he was actually born. Jesus is the only person in history whose birth certificate was written before more than 700 years before his birth. And that is can be read in chapter 7 of Isaiah. The good tidings of his birth brought joy and peace and happiness to the world that is filled with sin and wickedness and concealed in darkness. And we are part of those steeped in sin and concealed in darkness. The first part of our meditation is to consider the name of this baby who was born in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It will help us to ponder more deeply his name that were mentioned about his coming. And this came before his birth, about 750 years before his actual birth. And these are the names that mention about is the Savior. And Isaiah chapter 9, which I would like to invite you to open. Isaiah chapter 9, 6 to 7, where enumerated is various names. So will you please turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. Now, the name Wonderful clearly establishes and shows us about the total personhood of our Lord Jesus Christ. His name is Wonderful. The name Counselor also shows clearly about his wisdom and his teaching. The name Mighty God also clearly shows His great power, His omnipotence, His omniscient knowledge about everything that can be known about and that our mind cannot fathom. He possesses this great power, and He possesses all this knowledge. And also, we cannot confine Him in one place. He is everywhere in the great expanse of the whole universe. So therefore, we can meet Him anywhere. And even in this place, we can feel His presence. The Everlasting Father also clearly shows His deity, that He is called the God of our fathers. The Prince of Peace also clearly shows His kingship. After more than 2,000 years ago, the bells of Christmas still ring out the news that the Savior is born. Today, you can embrace Him as your Savior. But before some of us can do that, a sinner or a seeker should actually know what God is like. And before you can embrace Him, it will do a sinner good if you inquire from God's Word what God is like in the revelation of Himself in the Scriptures. What God is like? Well, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18 particularly. And then we will move on to 21 to 23. Let's clearly look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18. And then we'll move on to 21 to 23. It says, "To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to Him?" And then verse 21 to 23, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spread them out like the tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless." And then moving on to verse 30 to 31, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." What is God like at this point? Well, we already gave Him name, that is the Wonderful God, is the Counselor, is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What else that other scriptures reference? Well, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, this is what is told about the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament and the God whom we worship. God, who at various times and in various ways, in chapter 1 of Hebrews, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, and has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. That creation of the world is also intimated to us in John chapter 1, which was read this morning. And I'll just quote some verses about this God who revealed Himself in the act of creation. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Moving on to verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Bible constantly reminds us that God is light, and you can only see the light, the actual sunlight, to illustrate this truth. If you pass it through a prism, and I only can remember when I was 12 years old that I saw an actual prism. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. The prism is a rectangular glass that when you put it under the sun, it will show on the wall all the various colors that the sun contains. And I can remember that these colors are in the right order, which is red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. These are the colors that you can see when you face the prism just directly on the sunlight, and it will show the various colors of the different sunlights that the light brings out. You cannot see them with your naked eye, but if you use a prism and focus it towards the sunlight, and it will show on the wall, or even you bring an object nearby you, you can see these lights. It's different color. It's beautiful. Well, in that sense, these colors breaks into different component of colors. And Jesus is the prism through which whom we see. What God is like. In his teaching, we see God's wisdom. In his miracles, we see God's power. And in the whole of his life and in his death on the cross, we see God's love and his holiness. That is what Jesus meant when he said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father," in John 14, verse 9. Can you see the glimpse of these qualities in the passage that we just read in Isaiah 40, verses 30 to 41. Look at the last two verses in Isaiah 40, verse 30 to 31. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In your experience, in your physical ailments, or perhaps in your physical condition right now, have you experienced fainting? If so, probably it was due to one of the three reasons. It could be the overwhelming power of heat, or hunger, or massive bleeding if we have cut ourselves or met an accident. All too often we faint in our Christian life for several reasons. Perhaps we find the face of our life, in Christian life, too worrisome, which one would put it, too hot, too tiring. And the opposition is too strong. The opposition, the enemies, the battle, the spiritual battle that we face against our enemy, using to discourage us are too strong. And perhaps others who ridicule our witness are too much to bear. Or perhaps we don't give ourselves enough time to meditate on our spiritual life through prayer and Bible reading or church attendance to hear continually the various counsel of God's word, and even attending Christian fellowship that will ignite a stirring up of our faith with mature believers. Or again, we may fall badly into temptation, lose a lot of persevering patience, and feel it isn't worth going on. Well, God's remedy in its case is for us to wait on the Lord, as Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up their wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." To spend time meditating upon the strength that we need day by day in our Christian walk, you will notice that even those, for example, those who want to recharge their mobile phone with little batteries left or strength, we need to recharge them until they are recharged totally. Or even a patient we can witness who is having a blood transfusion so that his life will be revived. And later we will notice that even our spiritual vitality and our youthfulness are restored and renewed. This is the promise that is before us in Isaiah. And thirdly, the God that we are inquiring, what is God like? Isaiah continued to portray this God and bring before us in Isaiah 25 verse 9. If we will open to Isaiah 25 verse 9. This is what it says. "And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Well, as unbelievers, and those with whom we are in contact with, we can testify to them that the God that we worship through our Lord Jesus Christ, who revealed himself in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, is truly our God. We can repeat to them and testify to this verse, to the word of God, that, "Lord, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us." God's people, who are the redeemed, know that their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ is well established in the word of God. He will never fail them. And those who place their hope in any God but Jehovah will end up ashamed, hopeless, disillusioned, and eternally lost. So that the joyous testimony of believers in our today's text is a constant reminder that there is no God like the God what we worship. The God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac is our God who is at work today. Their joy, our forefathers, and the prophets of old, the redeemed people of God in the New Testament, their joy overflows when they think of the glorious person of their great God and Savior, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, with good reasons. For this God is our God. And this exclamation of good news and good encouragement from this word, Lord, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. It is an exclamation that follows from this promise, which is found in what Paul quoted in 1 Corinthians 15:54. He swallows up death in victory. Let's open 1 Corinthians 15:54. O death, that's verse 55. I would like to go back to 54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Also in Isaiah chapter 25 verse 8, it echoes that truth as well. In Isaiah 25 verse 8, he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Well, we may glory in this truth, in such a Savior that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. By his death in victory, first, in that he rose from the dead, never to die again. Second, in that he has forever abolished death as God's penalty on sin from his people. And third, in that he will come again and raise all his redeemed to eternal glorification and the enjoyment of resurrection of life. What a day that will be when the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise from their graves. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 establishes the truth. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven, and with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And that is our greatest experience, that anytime the Lord will come, at any point in time. That's why we need to remember this truth. That a while ago in our prayer as well, although we are being tested, we are not perplexed. Although our body are being washed away, we are not totally crushed, because this God is our God who revealed himself through our Lord Jesus Christ. And lo, this is our God. Let us be bold in proclaiming Christ to the world. Let us tell all men all we can about him. And this is our greatest opportunity, the testimony of what the Lord's God's grace has done in our life through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the eternal Son of God, who came to earth to seek and to save condemned sinners like us. Let us tell of his atoning death, on Calvary, and of his resurrection from the dead. And let us tell of his mighty power to save, inviting sinners to receive him and join us in our testimony that this is our God, and he will save us, and he will save others as well. Let's join hand in hand together in proclaiming this testimony that this God who revealed himself in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ is our God who cares and has a wonderful plan for each one of us to share his love. The love that passeth all understanding to those who are ready to believe in him as their Lord and Savior. This is a celebration that brings this encouragement for us to be able to tell to the world that our Lord Jesus Christ is alive today. And he has a wonderful plan for no matter how small we are in this church, we can still proclaim the truth that greater is he that is in us than the one that's in the world. Amen.